dive into Oregon and Stanford. I believe this is the 10th straight year we've had our guest on to break down this big game. Quarterback the Cardinal to the 99 Pac-10 title and a Rose Bowl berth. You can keep up on Twitter. Use the handle at Todd Husak. Todd, always appreciate the time. How are you and yours holding up during these, let's say, trying times?
Doing great. We've had, actually, once the smoke has cleared here in Northern California, we've had great weather last 3 or 4 weeks, and Northern California football fans are ready for Stanford to kick off against Oregon. It's a long, long off season, maybe the longest, ever. So we're ready. We're ready to see how this offense looks against a very good Ducks team.
So in general, you know, this program under Coach Shaw, he took the baton of success from Coach Harbaugh, 3 conference titles, 4 major bowls, then a little bit of slippage last year, lost some players this year to the portal, the NFL. Accurate to say that despite circumstances, as I guess the Dean of Pac-12 North coaches, this is a pretty important year to get things back on the upswing?
Oh, I think it's a huge year. And if you look at, I still remember somebody telling me like a decade ago, if you're a high school freshman, what are your, like, what are the top teams that you've seen play for national championships, play on TV, be the best teams? And that's where you want to go. And about 10 years ago, Stanford was that team that was top 10 every year. And Northern California is a great place to go to school. Stanford University is as good as it gets from a location and just overall sort of community aspect. But, man, they have not been good the last couple of years, and I think last year was a huge step backwards. And that's where you need to keep recruiting and make sure the kids who are going to be seniors know that Stanford is this place where you can not only go and compete for a national championship but get that great education. But more importantly for these kids, you need to compete for the national championship. And that's where Stanford needs to get back to because they have not been there in a while.
Last year, a lot of, I guess I want to say, flux at the quarterback position. Tavita Pritchard, not just the coordinator, the position coach, 3 different guys. We know KJ Costello went to Starkville, but now it looks like the gig is securely Davis Mills, who had some great moments last year. He was a blue chipper out of Georgia, now a senior. Todd, what's your read on how big of a season he's capable of?
Well, he broke the single-game passing record last year against Washington State. By the way, guess who held that?
Todd Husak?
That's right.
I saw that today.
Right. That's how long that record stood, and he broke it. So the short answer is he's really good. And I think the long answer is he's got really good weapons around him. I think Stanford has the best wide receiver core in the conference. They're experienced and fast and athletic. And if Stanford can figure out the scheme, and I think more importantly the protection to give Davis Mills some time, this guy is a future potential first rounder. Remember, they let KJ Costello go essentially to transfer to Mississippi State to bring in Davis Mills because they believe in him, that he can be the next guy.
By the way, for all you young broadcasters out there, that's why you read the game notes, so you know these things.
I put you on the spot and you delivered. Way to go. I appreciate it.
You know, obviously, Stanford is one of those programs synonymous with excellence on the offensive line. We know Walker Little opted out. But, you know, the 5 who started the last game of the season are back. You've got Branson Bragg, who was highly recruited. That was a young line last season, so, you know, I guess kind of from the what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. What's the buzz about the potential of this group now having all that time under their belts?
Well, I think that, yeah, without Walker Little, they go from being outstanding to being pretty good. And I think that pretty good could be great if those young guys continue to develop. And I think Bragg is one of the guys, but they have a few of those young players who are true freshmen, redshirt freshmen, who stepped up last year out of need, who stepped up and did so in a big way. And, like, you watch these guys block, you know, third, fourth-year defensive linemen in the Pac-12 and do it with authority, and that's what you like to see. So these guys are going to come back maybe a little more confident, a little more physically developed. Hopefully, you know, they were able to do it in the offseason without necessarily a full offseason of Stanford training, but at their homes. But just a year between 19 and 20 can be huge. And if these guys come back ready to play, I think that will be the key. Well, not necessarily Stanford's season, because I think the key will be the defense, but the key to Stanford's offense will be that offensive line. If they can protect Davis Mills, he can get the ball to some playmakers on the outside, and then it's up to the defense to keep the opposition from scoring 35 points. So I think Stanford had the opportunity to do that four or five times.
Talking Stanford football, longtime analyst Todd Husak on Twitter. It's at Todd Husak, and we'll get back to Stanford. I do have to ask you about the Duck who's now playing for the Chargers. I mean, you got to see him play in person four straight seasons, sort of through the lens of a quarterback. I mean, what's your read on how he's kind of exploded on the NFL scene?
Frankly, I've been surprised. I liked him in college. I thought he played against Stanford. I think he was 23 of 24 or 22 of 24 at one point against Stanford up at Eugene. That's pretty darn good. And he's a big, strong kid who can run, and I think we've seen that at the next level. My big question was his personality, almost, and his kind of moxie to get in the huddle with. I think that's as big of a challenge for any young quarterback, to get in a huddle with guys when you're 22 and there's guys in that huddle who are 32 or 35 who have been around and seen it and done it, who are going to believe in you. And I don't know if he had that, and he has certainly shown that. And that was the big question I had, and he's answered that. He has all the physical abilities, but his sort of coming into that team and taking over and playing at a high level, not just once, but 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row, has been impressive. And that was my concern, was how can he handle that huddle in the locker room, and do people look to him as being the guy? And they clearly have. So it's been fun to watch. And guess what? My son picked him up on his fantasy team last couple weeks, and has been very well rewarded. So
I'm sure.
Keep it up, Justin Herbert.
Again, I want to tap into your view from the quarterback position. You know, because of the virus, no fans, and of course, Autzen is notorious as a tough place to play. So, in preparing to play on the road, just how unique is it to not have to worry about audible silent counts or similar factors, and just, you know, focus on play calling and execution?
Yeah, that's not a small factor, as Autzen is, and for my money, either that or Husky Stadium, the two toughest places to play in the whole conference. And Stanford goes both those places this year. So advantage Stanford on that one. The good news is Stanford at home, they're used to playing in front of very few fans. So I think it'll be a little bit less of an impact for the Cardinal, but I think that's a huge advantage. If you're Washington or Oregon or even Oregon State or any of the Pac-12 teams that has a big time home advantage and you can't have fans there, that's going to hurt your ability. I'm telling you, it makes the difference in one game a year at least, and certainly a few points a game a year. Just the sort of the noise and the impact it has on the opposing offense or defense. So I think it's a big impact on how this season is going to play out. And I'm very curious to see, especially later in the season when Oregon plays Washington, or how the North plays out, to see who's going to come out of the pack.
Let's get to the other side of the ball. Cardinal defense, I mean, they've been no worse than 40th in points, top 40, from like 2010 through 2018, dipped last year. So the secondary, with the opt-out of Paulson Adebo at corner, Obi Igbo is now a grad transfer at UCLA, Stuart Head transferred. They do have some returners with experience. So what's the word on the kind of secondary Coach Akina will run out there?
Well, the good news is Coach Akina is still in charge, and he has had the ability to develop guys into top-notch players over the course of his career, literally like nobody else has. He's coached more first-rounders than any college coach in the history of college football. So he has the experience. Now, without Paulson and Debo, it's a different group. So he's got to get these young guys ready, especially to play against some of these passing teams that, I mean, I think that's been the big evolution of over the course of the past decade with the Pac-12, is from a running team to a passing team. And the secondary, the teams with the best secondary have been the ones who have been able to hold tight. And I think Stanford has shown that ability, but without Paulson and Debo, boy, it's going to be tough this year. And so these young players are going to have to step up. It's going to be a challenge, and I think that's where it comes back to, we talked about it earlier, Stanford's offense needs to score 35 a game to protect that defense a little bit, because they're going to be challenged and probably beaten, especially early in the season.
A couple final thoughts as we chat up Todd Husak talking Stanford football. You know, there was a lot of concern with the announcement, limited number of games. Will the Pac-10 have a shot to get into the playoff? I mean, we already know the Big 12 won't have an unbeaten, and obviously there's so much up in the air because of the virus. So you think a conference team who flexes its muscle, wins out, wins the conference title game, could make a legit case to the selection committee?
Well, that's going to be tough because their limited schedule. I do think that this conference poses as big of a challenge as any other conference in the country. So if you can get an undefeated team to come out 6-0, 7-0 of the Pac-12, they certainly should be involved in that Final Four, because what I've seen so far from the ACC or the SEC, I don't see a dominant necessarily team. Clemson looks good, but without Trevor Lawrence, who may not be back for the rest of the year. Alabama looks good, but I don't see any other team in the SEC. Georgia looks good. Notre Dame looks good. Let's see what the Pac-12 has to offer before we rule them out, because I'd love to see somebody challenge from this conference, which has been super difficult over the last decade to get some team out of here, because they play 9 conference games. That's been the challenge. So if they're only playing 6, maybe somebody can come out of here undefeated and compete on the national level.
And lastly, I mean, of all the years asking, this is probably the toughest, so much limited information. But you've seen Oregon every year. You know, they lost Justin Herbert. They lost basically their line. Troy Dye, a bunch of talent on defense. We also know Coach Cristobal and his guys have crushed it on the recruiting trail. So in who you've spoken with, what you've observed, what's maybe the buzz about the kind of Duck team that they will face Saturday?
Well, the Duck teams over the last few years, and I think it continues this year, is speed. Right? They're going to have speed in the backfield, speed in the secondary, and they're going to put pressure on you both offensively and defensively. And I think that's been Oregon's sort of MO, is play fast, put up some points, make the defense go sideline to sideline, and then on the offensive side, make the other team get first downs. Do not turn it over, because Oregon is one of those teams that they'll score quickly and then get a turnover and then score quickly, and all of a sudden you're in deep trouble. So I think the more a team can stay in the game longer, that's advantage the opposition, and that's where Stanford has to be sharp. Do not turn the ball over. And I think that's sort of the program for teams that are playing Oregon. Do not turn the ball over. Take advantage of opportunities and score points when you're inside the 20, because Oregon can score from any part of the field.
Folks, he's Todd Husak. We always look forward to chatting him up and getting the lowdown on Stanford. Again, on Twitter, it is at Todd Husak. Todd, it's always fun catching up, always great information and insight. I greatly appreciate you finding some time with us, wishing you and yours well. And as always, look forward to catching up again down the road.
My pleasure. Right, anytime. I really appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one, Todd.